Media. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is a really good day. Well, not for everybody. I'll acknowledge that. I'm having a good day. And again, I'm not having a good day because of who won and who lost. Because if that were the case, I'd be having a crappy day because I love the Bills. I do. Bills Mafia. I love that part of the country. I love the fan base. And I've got immense respect for the Chiefs and their fans too. I love KC. So what I'm saying is I'm having a good day because I'm having a good day. And I'm having a good day because I feel like, frankly, we're having a good show. And I feel like we're having a good show, frankly, because I feel like I'm a damn good host. Just playing. But I'm not playing about this. I'm having a good day. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Now, you might be thinking, oh, really, Rome? You're having a good day. Well, why don't you check back with us Sunday when you're in Kansas City? We remember the last time you were in Kansas City, Rome. You didn't have a great day. True that. Going to have a great day this Sunday, though. The NFL today is traveling to KC for the AFC Championship game, and I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to get back and freeze my ass off. I love that matchup. Love the opportunity. The assignment. Love getting my Drew Kalisky email this morning, so I'm fired up. Can't wait. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Part of the reason we're having such a good show, Darius Butler helped me set the tone. Great interview with him. Isaac Bruce coming up big. Hall of Famer. So you get great interviews like that on a show like this. Leonard Hamilton is the winningest coach in Florida State basketball history. So we had him on, and now we are wide open for this third hour, except for the ATP. Quickly, you know how good a weekend this was. I haven't even gotten to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay yet. I haven't even gotten to what went down in Nashville on Saturday yet. Why don't we do that for a minute? You know, that football game and that near-death experience of one Joseph Lee Burrow? Seriously, if this were still back in the day and I still had my celebrity death pool, and yes, we did have one of those here in the jungle. If I still had my celebrity death pool and we were taking action on what celebrity and or athlete we thought we would die next or we thought would die next, one, I would take Ritt. No offense, Pops. Two, we did do that back in the day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If I had a celebrity death pool, I know that my dude Joe would have been taking some serious action because my dude Joe was taking some serious physical punishment. For real. If the Cincinnati Bengals do not use every single dollar available and every single draft pick available in April to protect Joe Burrow, then we all riot, whether we're Bengal fans or not. I mean, right there on the spot, no questions asked. Every single resource has to go to protecting the franchise because there are beatdowns, and then there are ass kickings, and then there's what Joe Burrow experienced from that Titans pass rush. I mean, that bleep was downright criminal. Now, I like the Titans pass rush. I even hyped them leading into that game. But the Bengals turnstiles up front, the Matadors, turn these dudes into this generation's fearsome foursome. They sacked Burrow not once, not two, not three, not three, but nine times.
Nine times.
Did I see Deacon Jones out there? Did I see Rosie Greer out there? Did I see Merlin Olsen, the only member of the fearsome foursome that would not come on this program? Did I see Lamar Lundy out there? Nine times. And it felt like they hit him another 99 times. I mean, there was some incredible play by young quarterbacks this weekend. And I'm not saying there wasn't, starting with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. But do not forget about Cool Joe. Do not forget about Cool Joe's game either.
Thanks, Joe.
And Natty fan, side note, I don't want to disrespect your defense either and what they did, because you guys answered the bleeping bell. You stepped the hell up and kept your guys in the game. An incredible showing, honestly. Props. Big ups. But Burrow is the story. And yes, smart Alex, he didn't throw a touch. And he did throw a pick. And first off, that pick was not on him. It was on his running back. I mean, the ball did hit him in the worst place possible, his bleeping hands. Joe's greatness, though, was not in the stat sheet like it had been since early December, but in how cool, how tough, how unflappable this cat was. Every single quarterback in the history of football is a lesser quarterback when they get hit. That's a fact. Every single one. Except maybe Joe Burrow. Maybe. I mean, there's tough, and then there's Burrow tough. Hell, even Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were a little rattled by the opposing pass rush they faced this weekend. But I didn't see Cool Joe lose his cool even once. Didn't blink even once. Didn't flinch even once. I mean, it was amazing. This guy was not impacted. Not rattled by it. Didn't get the happy feet. Didn't lose patience. Just stood in. Time and time and time again. Like, the secret sauce of dusting a quarterback up and getting him off his game failed, I think, for the first time ever in the history of the league, because they pounded this guy. And yet he just stood in and continued to stand in. And then he and his team made big plays when it mattered most, and they finally choked Tennessee out. I mean, how this guy didn't pick himself up off the ground one of the 60 times that he got knocked on his ass, and didn't swing on his own offensive line or give his coaches the hands on the sideline for their lack of protection is beyond me, especially as a young player. Never changed expression, never hung his head, body language didn't change. And by the way, who would have blamed the guy if it did? I wouldn't have. Nobody would have. But he never once pointed the finger. Not in game and not after. This dude made history the wrong way. He tied an NFL playoff record in getting sacked 9 times. This was also coming off a season where he was sacked in NFL most 51 times. And that was a season that was a year removed from him tearing his ACL. But in the process of this hit job, Cool Joe chose to make history also in the right way, in becoming the first quarterback to get sacked that many times and win a playoff game, in becoming the first quarterback in NFL history to lead his team to the championship round in their first 2 seasons. And afterwards, instead of raging, all this guy did was prop, or even instead of kind of taking a little victory lap, all he did was prop everybody else. All he did was prop his guys, starting with his kicker, who, by the way, may have as much swag as even the quarterback does.
So he was talking to Brandon as he was going out to kick. He gave a little warm-up swing, and he said, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship, right before he went out there to kick it. And when you have a kicker, I mean, we knew exactly what we had as soon as he walked into the building in camp, and we just saw how he carried himself.
That's incredible. That really is incredible. I've talked to kickers on this show before. I'm kind of fascinated by kickers. I like kickers. I'm not one of those guys who has that stupid, lame, lazy take about kickers. I mean, they got a different skill set now, a different job. But this dude might be my new favorite kicker, because he's got nads nearly the size of Burrow's. To put that out there and then clutch up and send the Bengals to their first AFC Championship game since Boomer, after going 3-for-3 in his playoff debut, that is next level stuff. And Joe was not done spreading the love. He had a message for the entire world and those who are still not giving his guys the respect that he believes they have already earned.
No, I'm tired of the underdog narrative. And we're a really, really good team. We're here to make noise. And, you know, teams are going to have to pay attention to us. We're, like I said, a really good team with really good players and coaches, and we're coming for it all.
Hell yeah. How do you not respect that? Amazing. You know who aren't, however, frankly, I don't want to get on the wrong side of you, my man. You know who aren't? Let me be careful how I phrase this. I know it's going to alienate you, Joe, and I don't want to do that because I like you so much and respect you so much. I want to say, you know who aren't really good players? But I'll kind of side. I'll err on the caution of being conservative. Hey, Joe, you know who aren't great players? That turnstile you have in front of you. However, the fact that you are hyping them up and you have them and you have their backs and you're embracing your inner Conor McGregor with them, I think is pretty awesome. What a freaking leader, man. You can't lead unless you're enormously tough, and this guy's that, but what an amazing leader for a young player. And you can't lead unless you make big plays in big moments, and he's done that his whole life. This dude is incredible. An incredible leader. Like, there were some amazing performances from the quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, this weekend, and the future of the league is in great shape at that position. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they deserve all that love. But I'm telling you, you put Cool Bleeping Joe in that same conversation. He's in the conversation. Don't tell me he's not. He's in the conversation. Because not only is he about as talented as they come, you cannot rattle this guy. You cannot break this guy. Go ahead, try him. Try him. The Titans did and didn't come close to making this guy flinch, let alone having this guy tap.
Going to the AFC Championship.
I said it Friday. I love Joe Burrow. That doesn't mean I'm picking them, but hell, the fact that they're in the AFC Championship game, the Bengals, and this guy did what he did, taking that beating and taking the beating that he took in the regular season and taking that beating after tearing his ACL, and this guy's back already playing the way he is, not playing afraid, not playing conservatively, tucking and running when he has to. This dude is special. This dude's different. This cat is just different. You know, different like Josh Allen's different. Different like Patrick Mahomes is different. Josh, the Bengals are different, yo. The Bengals are in KC 60 minutes from a Super Bowl. Can you imagine?
Yo.
I'm going to be there. Can you imagine? I don't know. I saw the way some of these reporters were geared up on the sideline. I don't have any of that gear. I'm from California. I don't even know where to get that gear. This could go pretty badly, too. Abigail's in. Romy. At Romy's my homie. Jimmers. I see a lot of similarities between A-Rod and Dan Marino. Both are considered the best of their time, but only have one ESPY appearance each. At least A-Rod won his. But then again, so did Trent Dilfer. Wore Jim Plunkett's 2 Super Bowl wins. Unworthy HOF. Boy, is there anything that gets less credit than Jim Plunkett winning it twice? How come nobody ever references that?
It's 2 for me.
That's a guy who made a lot of plays. That's a guy who made a lot of plays. Wells is in. Except I already know he's not going to make it better, so I'm not going to read it. No offense, Wells. You got to make it better to get on the air here. Getting on this show is not your inalienable right. You have to play your way in. You have to earn it. You have to. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Medford, Oregon. Get a phone call in here or more. Jack in Medford. Hi, Jack. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Yeah, I'm living here in Oregon, transplanted from Crapchester. I'm a longtime listener of your show. You are a great host, and I appreciate the love that you always give and respect to the Buffalo Bills. You know, I was sitting in the stadiums in 1971, 1972. Didn't really get what I think Lou Saban was our coach. We went like 1-13, then 4-9, and then 1973 we get O.J. Simpson, and you know, he rushes for 2,000 yards in a single season. His quarterback was Joe Ferguson, and we were kind of put on the map. And what makes Buffalo a great, great town is the fact of the matter, and why there is the Buffalo Mafia is because there was nothing else back then. You know, you had horse racing, some boxing, and you had the Buffalo Bills, and it was an event for a small market team, a small city that packed in Syracuse, Niagara Falls, of course, Buffalo, Rochester. You know, everybody supported. Everybody supported, and that's what you had. It was a depressed area. You know, Xerox, Kodak, they all left the place. Hell, everybody even knows that the waterfalls, the best part of the waterfalls, are in Canada. You know, O.J. Simpson, you see how that people remember him now for the white Bronco. All right. And then you're kind of always waiting for something to happen. I don't know why it happened to the Buffalo Bills, four straight Super Bowls. You got to have a thick skin to be a Bills fan. But, you know, it's God, family, and the Buffalo Bills. I mean, that's just the way it is. I have generations of grandchildren now that are all Bills fans. Whether it's a curse, I don't know. But, man, we're there. I'm actually still in the same spot that I was last night, sitting outside in my bar, frozen, you know, staring at a blank TV right now. You know, I wasn't going to get on the radio today, but I just had to. And this is actually the reason I made this call. But unless you sat in that stadium freezing your ass off, and the reason we stand there is half the time is because we can't bend our knees because they're freaking frozen. All right. So, you know, you put in that time, you put in that pain, and it's a serious, serious love that this city has for this Buffalo Bills team, which is a totally different team. Can't be compared with the four Super Bowl losses, only in the fact that for some reason we just can't get over the hump. But with this team, we will. I wish we hadn't had that little meltdown. How much do you miss Tre'Davious White? You know, I think quite a bit. Anyhow, not taking away anything from the Kansas City Chiefs. Darius Butler, I agree with everything he said.
Jack, I'm going to jump in on you only because, like, you're good, dude. You're good. I know if I don't jump in, my man, you're going to go for another hour. But I'm just sorry to cut you off like that. But I just know you have a lot of takes and a lot of feelings. Jack, you did an amazing job of laying out what it's like to be a Bills fan. Much better than I could because I haven't lived it. I haven't lived through that and suffered through all those devastating losses, and especially in those elements. I thought you did an amazing job. I appreciate you. Thanks for making that phone call. He said, long-time listener, but I've never actually called before, but now I'm going to. Can only imagine what the rest of you will do with that phone call. I mean, where do I start? He was making the point that Buffalo, back in the day, didn't really have anything other than the football team. Some boxing, horse racing, Kodak, but then they left. Xerox, then they left. I know a lot of you smart asses are going to be like, really? What do they have now? You know what they have now is a good technology corridor. Yes, I said it, and it's true. Buffalo does. Some of you other smart asses are going to say, oh, he said, what's O.J. Simpson known for? Not the 2,000 yards he rushed for, but only the white Bronco. And I know some of you smart asses will be, no, that's really not accurate. He's known for murdering a couple of people in one night. All right, so there, I said it for you. Any other way you want to discredit that guy or that call? He nailed it. He talked about what it's like to be a Buffalo Bills fan. But you know what's interesting? He still had a bit of optimism. He said, it hurts. It hurts. I'm still in the same spot now that I was last night, staring off at an empty TV screen. However, this team is different, and we'll be back. But he did say, we're always waiting for something. And I think what he's saying is we're always expecting the worst. Yeah, but you weren't, though, right? You weren't when you had 13 seconds left and a lead. That had to have been the first time ever you were not expecting the worst. And then something worse than the worst happened. Right down the field. And then you knew it was just going to be a coin flip. I'm not saying that terrible, horrible format overrides what happened, because it shouldn't have been an overtime. It should have never happened. But that terrible format and rule definitely plays a part in this, because I would say the same thing about Kansas City. I would argue that Josh Allen would have done exactly to KC what Patrick Mahomes did to Buffalo. You can't decide a playoff game, much less one of the greatest playoff games ever, based on the flip of a coin. It's just a bad rule. How can you tell me a guy like Josh Allen, who played that game, who had a response every single time, did not deserve to touch the football again? And I don't want to hear it. Hey, next time, don't call it tails. It's a coin flip. It's a coin flip. Dear Rome, we will always be remembered for going to the same high school as you. Nothing more. Signed, the Menendez brothers. I think they did attend Calabasas High School for 1 year. Long after me. No, I don't think that if you reach those two bros in prison and you ask them, hey, what do you think you're going to be remembered for, Lyle, Eric, or going to the same high school as Rome? Yeah, no. Don't run that misdirection. Hey-o! All right, when we come back, I still haven't even gotten to the Packers yet. That's how wild a weekend that was. I still have not gotten to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Coming back, phone lines are open. Take advantage of it. I will be in KC this weekend for the AFC Championship game on CBS, the NFL Today on CBS. I'm sure a lot could happen between now and then, but I did hear from the icon, Drew Kalisky, with my assignment. Now I've got my own assignment. Find gear so I don't freeze to death again. You know what's even worse about me? I'm not like Evan Washburn and the other reporters who are out there the entire game. I'm only out there for the pregame. Like, I'm not even out there that long. And yet, for some reason, it's much tougher on me. I'm going to turn that thing around. All right, still to come, even if you want to talk some UFC 270, man, the Honda Center was going off. That joint was packed. Dana White had come in here late last week and said, we're going to get that record back. The gate record. I wonder if they did. It looked like they did. There was not a seat in that joint. All this still ahead, and your phone calls and an ATP. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So really quickly, the guy you want to hear from in Buffalo is on hold. I will get there momentarily. Ian tweets, Jim, great rant on Burrow and the Bengals. About time somebody gave them some bleeping credit. The Bengals beat them once and they can do it again. Signed, Ian in the Natty. Wore Joe freaking Burrow and America's team. I love Joe Burrow. And I love that the Bengals are where they are. A lot to like about them. Rome, Alfred Hitchcock, Steven Spielberg, Quentin Tarantino. Could not have written a more suspenseful, dreamlike, shocking twist than what I saw this NFL weekend. I still cannot believe what just happened. Dave in San Diego. I think there is something to that. I think a lot of us are sitting here this morning like, I still can't believe that went down. And by that, I mean all of that. That wasn't like one walk-off. That was every one of those games. Pimp, that last call you took was 10 times longer than the time Mahomes had to rip that title game appearance from the Bills last night. See you next year, Bills Mafia. Jeff from the 919. I got news for you. Had I not cut him off, he'd still be going. But look, it's impossible for any of us to understand what it's like to be a Bills fan. I wanted to hear from a Bills fan. So I let that guy go. And I didn't know whether or not I would get another call from a Bills fan. And then this guy called. I got a pretty good feeling we're about to find out what it's like to be a member of the Bills Mafia right this second. Let's go to Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo. Brother, what's going on?
Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier are lucky I don't own the Bills, because I would have fired both their sorry asses before the overtime coin flip. How two alleged defensive geniuses could be so ill-prepared at the end of regulation will piss me off till the day I die. I was a freshman in high school when Norwood went wide right, Jim. But trust me, this was 1,000 times worse because it was totally preventable. How two alleged defensive gurus could let Kelsey and Hill run free in the middle of the field will piss me off till the day I die. And I know saying someone sucks isn't a take, but how else can one describe Tremaine Edmonds? It doesn't matter how gifted you are athletically when your football IQ is in the single digits. I know you traded up to get him, Bean, but can you finally cut your losses and get us a real middle linebacker this offseason? And while there were no silver linings last night, Jim, I'm glad the football world got to see who the league's best quarterback is. And that dude wears number 17 in red, white, and blue. Another perfect playoff game, this time in a hostile environment. Zero credit to Patrick Mahomes. Pretty easy to light it up when there's no pass rush, no coverage, and no tackling, you friggin' frog. And nice to see Vic finally realize he's no longer a viable caller and instead sending those fire tweets. The Bills may have lost yesterday, but Vic loses every day. But nice to see you're watching the NFL again, victim. Way to prove your point about not supporting the, quote, Democratic League. But don't worry, everyone. He said he's watching for free online. Not surprising, because this sponge gets everything for free. Except sex, of course. Spending his monthly allowance on NoCal's finest heifers. Now back to the basement you go, bitch boy. And last thing, Jim, I saw Ritt tweeted out he feels sorry for Buffalo. Gee, thanks, old man, but not as sorry as we feel for you, you loser. War Gabe Davis's monster performance last night. War bringing back Beasley for another year. Thanks for the therapy session, Jim. I'm not sure about the Bills, but I'm sure as hell not going anywhere. I'm out.
My dude, Rick in Buffalo. Absolutely incredible. You racked the hell out of that call, Alvin.
Rack him.
I love the Bills Mafia. I don't care how much you hate that guy. I love Rick. That is such a great call. That is such a great call after one of the worst nights ever. And again, this is what I want to say. I think that Sean McDermott's a hell of a coach. I think Leslie Frazier is a hell of a coach. I think they did not have a great night last night. And what I love about the Bills Mafia and what I'm seeing, other than him not giving, quote, that frog any credit, that's the only part of Rick's call that I really had a problem with. You know, he and Vic, choose a side there if you want, or choose neither side if you want. That's a different beef onto itself. But not giving Patrick Mahomes any credit obviously is not going to work. However, that said, I love so many things about that call. One, his anger, which I always love about Rick. But the fact that he's not cutting his guys any slack, and he's calling them out, and he's calling for accountability, and he's not coming in with something lame like, the overtime rules suck, we would have won. He's saying it shouldn't have gone to overtime. The Bills fans are pretty objective like that. They're like any other fan, right? They'll point the finger, they'll make an excuse, they'll blame the referees. This guy went right out of his way to blame his head coach and his D coordinator and his linebacker. That's what I mean. And called the day after and owned it. Good job, Rick. This guy has finished as high as number 2 in the smack-off. Hard to imagine he won't win one day. I'd say the same thing about the Bills, though, right? It had to have felt like losing 4 Super Bowls all in 13 seconds. Because you had to know that it was going to come down to that coin flip. As gassed as that D was, and as badly as they were playing in the very end, did anybody anywhere really think that Patrick Mahomes was not going to go right down the field the way he did off a coin flip? And that Buffalo wouldn't get a chance to touch the ball because of the rules? But again, the hell were they doing in overtime to begin with? This was not the 31st ranked defense. This was the top-ranked defense in the NFL. I understand. It was up and down and a tough night. Here's what else I understand. Top-ranked D in the NFL. 13 seconds. Make a play. Get the hell out of there. Get off the field. Also, again, what are you doing not squib-kicking that ball? Run some clock.
The clock.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes walks out there like, I got this. Oh, 13 seconds? More than enough time. I got Tyreek. I got Kelsey. You imagine this guy lining up and looking over that defense and going, damn, that's soft. All I got to do is get a little chunk here, a little chunk there, kick it, get to overtime, win this thing. Thanks for coming. And that's exactly what they did. You did not frog him. You did not frog him, Rick. Freaking Patrick Mahomes. Looking at another Super Bowl. He's got to get through Cincinnati. Fair enough. Already multiple. He's already got wins and multiple appearances at age 25. I mean, can you imagine if this guy stays healthy? How many times he's going to go? And this isn't one of those things like, yeah, I got there early in my career. I thought it would be like that every year. It is like that every year with this guy. You can't frog him.
You
this dude's incredible.
Frog.
And even when he struggled earlier this year, and there was that whole narrative about the league adjusted, the league caught up, they're not adjusting back. I don't know. It's like he threw that proverbial switch last night. He looked every bit as dangerous as he ever has, and especially running the football. You know, amazing. They just could not get this guy. He's like a magician, what he gets out of. And time again, amazing game. You can't frog him, Rick.
You friggin' frog.
Not even frogged him. Frickin' frogged him. It's a teacher using his alliteration. When we come back, the ATP. Try and do better than that. My man's already won the huge call. I know that already. Because I know you're not doing better than that. 1-800-636-8686. I do owe you a bottom of the hour sports update, so here. Let's do that ATP, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, the Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's see what we got here. M. Bird, 1973. Jim, how would you change the NFL OT rule? For starters, I would make sure that both teams get to actually touch the ball. How about that? In fact, that pretty much would end it. That's my change. Both quarterbacks get to touch the ball. I mean, what did everybody, aside from Kansas City fans, want last night? A chance to see Josh Allen get the ball back and match Patrick Mahomes the way he did the entire game. Everybody wanted that. So what do you say we do that? Listen, there are a number of ways you can do this without resorting to that over-the-top college football overtime format. But definitely make sure that both quarterbacks touch the ball at least one time. Easy fix right there. This guy Patrick writes, Yimmy, you seem to be choking more frequently these days. Any worries about a career ending health issue? This dude. Not nearly as concerned as I am that a moron like you will keep sending me your contributions, Patrick. Dude, they're almonds. They're almonds that I eat in show. I do my very best not to eat in show hours, honestly. Here's the real truth of it. I don't eat when I'm on the air, on any show. I don't eat before. I try and eat significantly before and never during. And then sometimes because I don't eat, I don't make it to the end of the show, so I'll grab a handful of almonds. Anytime you hear me choke, it's the almonds.
Well, bah, bah, bah.
It's almonds. Okay, Rome, how about a glass of water? Fair. That's fair. I probably should do that. No, dude, I am not worried about a career-ending health issue based on you hearing me choke more and more on the air. One, I disagree with that. And two, no, I'm not worried about that. But I am worried that you'll keep emailing me, dude. That does worry me. So stop. Shut up, Britt. Hi, Jim. Game Doc. Doc Emmerich mentioned on your show that he didn't sleep the night before his huge roundtable interview with Orr, Gretzky, Crosby, etc. Do you ever lose sleep before a special guest on your show or podcast? Thanks, Bella B. in Calgary. See, now that's better, Patrick. So, Bella, I would say probably, and I've mentioned this, there are probably 3 to 5 times a year where I feel like an interview is really high stakes. I treat them all equally with the same amount of respect, and I put time into every last person I talk to. But 3 or 5 times a year, I have to admit that even my heart rate gets elevated. I feel where the stakes are really, really high, either personally or professionally. So what's an interview that's kept me up the night before? I'll tell you one, from start to finish. And understand, it was a very different time. This was in the 90s. There was that time that ESPN flew me to Cleveland to interview Albert Bell about the cork bat. Albert Bell at that time, and even probably today, was about as intimidating, scary a dude as there was. All right? Really intimidating. And I was going to talk to Albert Bell about the cork bat. And I remember being really afraid of two things. One, that he might break my face, because I was definitely going to go at him. And two, you know what I was really afraid of? That he was going to pull the plug and not do the interview. That we were going to get on a plane, because again, this was a really different time, 90s. That we would fly all the way with our crew to Cleveland to do the interview. And then he was going to say, nah, I'm not doing that. And I'd have to call my bosses back at Bristol and say, he won't do it. Really? We flew you and your crew from L.A. to Cleveland, and he's not doing the interview. As if that'd be my fault or anything. That kept me up, Bella. I was definitely worried about those two things. Neither of them happened. He showed up. He was very congenial. He did not break my face. And we did the interview. I'm not going to lie, though. That one kept me up. I definitely was concerned about that one. Let's see, some reaction to Rick. Wore the RIB for another powerful call. He's going to be the wild card of the Smackoff this year. Hashtag freaking frog. He's not a wild card, dude. He's on the short list. He's like the top-ranked contender. He's not the X factor. He's not a wild card. He's like the favorite, other than the defending champ. He's definitely not a wild card. A wild card is somebody like, I don't know, like Jeff in Southfield. You know, somebody who's like kind of out there that could just shock the world. But has the game to do it. What up, Jim? Rick doesn't usually sum up an entire region's feelings. However, after this one, he nailed it. Bleeping 13 seconds. The Pagulas might want to put McDermott and Frazier into witness protection. We cried, we laughed, and then we wanted to hurt something. Life of a Bills fan. Bills backer for life. Boat right in Buffalo. Thing is, they were 13 seconds from being icons. Those two guys you're taking, coming for right now. Let's see, Frazier already had a head coaching job. If they get off that field. Man. See, that's why I'm not saying, I would never, ever profess to know what it is to experience the life of a Bills fan. This is why I'm asking you to come in, Mafia, and explain it to us. And Rick did. At Mr. Boxing tweets, 13 seconds is all it took for no one to talk about 8 receptions for 201 yards and 4 TDs. Gabriel Davis broke out of obscurity and fell back into obscurity on the same night. Really interesting. I did. I tweeted Gabriel Davis. I saw what he was doing. It was incredible. This guy was incredible. And you're right. No one's talking about it. I mean, what a night. Huge call. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. And the excellent customer service you get from the professional parts people there that you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Here is your huge call.
And while there were no silver linings last night, Jim, I'm glad the football world got to see who the league's best quarterback is. And that dude wears number 17 in red, white, and blue. Another perfect playoff game. This time in a hostile environment. Zero credit to Patrick Mahomes. Pretty easy to light it up when there's no pass rush, no coverage, and no tackling, you friggin' frog. And nice to see Vic finally realize he's no longer a viable caller and instead send in those fire tweets. The Bills may have lost yesterday, but Vic loses every day. But nice to see you're watching the NFL again, victim. Way to prove your point about not supporting the, quote, Democratic League. But don't worry, everyone. He said he's watching for free online. Not surprising, because this sponge gets everything for free. Except sex, of course. Spending his monthly allowance on NoCal's finest heifers. Now back to the basement you go, bitch boy. And last thing, Jim, I saw Ritt tweeted out he feels sorry for Buffalo. Gee, thanks, old man, but not as sorry as we feel for you, you loser. War Gabe Davis's monster performance last night. War bringing back Beasley for another year. Thanks for the therapy session, Jim. I'm not sure about the Bills, but I'm sure as hell not going anywhere. I'm out.
There he is, Rick in Buffalo. Huge call. My thanks to Darius Butler, Leonard Hamilton, Isaac Bruce, the XR4TI. It is now officially championship week. And we're off to a good start. Good day. If you didn't get through today, take your shot tomorrow. We will recap a lot of this and start to look.